Okay, so on the call we have Cherry Langdon Orr, Eberhard Hesse, Nigel Roberts, Paulus Nyrenda, Olga Cavalli, Mark Carvo, Martin Boyle, Stephen Deerhawk, Catherine Reynolds, Jeremy Beal, Ruth Puente, Becky Burr, Jap Eckerhuis, Bill D, and Keith Davidson. From staff, we have Bart Boswinkel, Christina Nordstrom, and Bernard Turcott. Did I miss anybody?
Patricio Paulette here.
Patricio, hello.
Hi.
And somebody else just joined?
Bill Semek.
Hi, Bill. And I don't really have any official apologies, just people mentioning that they might not be able to stay for the whole call.
There was one apology I noted on the list from Dejan, I won't try and say the surname, D-J-U-K-I-C.
Okay.
No further apologies? Okay. Moving ahead then, we have the meeting record from the face-to-face meeting that we had in Singapore. Christina, can we pop that up on Adobe
yes.
Connect? And Bernie, when it's up, would you like to step us through it quickly?
Sure. All right. I think we've got everyone that was present anyway, so I use the official record, so do let me know if I've missed someone. And we'll get into the matter.
You're very difficult to understand as if you're about 3 meters away from your microphone.
Let me try and fix that. I'm not in my regular environment. I'm trying to work from a remote location. But please let me know if it's not working, and we'll try and fix it. Okay, is this any better?
Yes.
Excellent. Okay.
It's good for me.
All right, so back to it. Meeting report of 2 June was unanimously accepted. Charter and work plan, Keith covered that the GAC had confirmed their participation. And that the FOI working group charter had been updated, given that there was more than one option for GAC participation. So that was updated to finalize how the GAC had decided to participate.
Eberhard has a point. Eberhard.
Oh, I am by mistake. By mistake.
Okay, Frank March noted that the GAC is preparing a work plan for its activities over the next 12 months. I would appreciate an outline of the expectations of the FOI working group from the GAC over the next 2 years so it can plan accordingly. And finally, Keith noted that per our joint CCNSO GAC workshop, we have committed to provide the GAC with this information. Additionally, GAC representatives to the FOI working group can share our working papers with other GAC representatives once they have been through at least one reading of this group. Is that generally the recollection of everyone on that point? I'll take that as a yes. Terminology paper, lengthy discussion on the term manager by many participants, general acceptance of the term manager. What I will say is that I got the transcript and went through it and tried to pick off the interesting parts and condense them. So for those that are new on these calls, these are not official minutes. We record the calls and put the link to the recording on our website if anyone wants a truly detailed account of what went on. So we call this a meeting report where we value brevity and try to highlight really what was significant and the key points and bring them forward. So, issues around qualifying the term manager. Some participants were uncomfortable with the term proposed manager. The term prospective manager was proposed by Nigel without any great support. a few participants were uncomfortable with the term derelict manager. Kim DeVase will propose terminology based on internal IANA documentation. Oops, that's an error. I believe that's Nigel pointed out that as per the requirements RFC 1591, the definitions of manager and AC should include the requirement for presence in country. So you will see that in the new version when we go through that, and we've included that for the AC.
Okay, and Nigel has his hand up. Was it for that point, Nigel, or something else?
Yes. I think proposed is a bit strong.
Okay. As I said,
I'm not even suggesting that 432 needs to be in there, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, I think I've kept using proposed because after reading the transcript, I couldn't see anything coming out as a clear winner.
Sorry, can I interrupt, Ernie? I beg your pardon. I've misinformed you. What I mean is that I proposed, not proposed manager. So 432.
Yes.
The term prospective manager was proposed. I don't think it went so far as being as proposal. I think it was just something that was mentioned in passing. So I think you can delete 432 altogether without losing anything.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Returning 4.5, it was generally agreed the term operator would be useful, that it should not be used as a synonym for manager. You will find a new version of the terminology paper that has been kept as that. Interested. Eberhard objected to the term which represents. That's been amended as far as I know. Noted that there was some official term. And that is to refer to countries and territories and nothing else. I think I've corrected that in the latest version of the terminology paper. Nigel noted that there is actually a third class of CC with the inclusion of .eu, which is a transnational unity. And I've tried to note that in the terminology paper without trying to resolve all the issues around that. As it is expected, we will deal with those around the definition of valid, under the topic of valid administrative contact, manager administrative contact, technical contact, but it is clearly noted in the new version of the terminology paper. As our note may
Nigel
not...
Has, Nigel has his hand up again, sorry.
All right.
Nigel. Nigel?
Nigel's dog, perhaps, that had his hand up.
Must have been.
All right, well, anyways, we always take it that Nigel's hand is always up anyways.
Hello?
Yeah, Nigel.
Oh, I was having problems in speaking. The unmute didn't seem to be effective. Bernie, can I suggest the addition of and AQ to 463? Because there was some... dispute as of what UM was.
You're talking about Antarctica.
Yes.
Yeah. If you in the new version of the terminology paper, I've actually included .aq.
I have a question. It's Phil.
So if you want me to add it to the notes from the last meeting, I'll be glad to do that too.
Yeah, I was just going to suggest you add, because it was mentioned at the time in any event, but if you're giving an example of UM, which is a good example in my book, but if you give two examples, I think it reads better. So UM and AQ at the end of 463. It's a suggestion, not compulsory.
Point of order.
Yeah, all right, Bill, let me finish.
No, I
put my hand down now.
No. Point of order. We're reviewing the minutes. We're not reviewing the documents.
That is correct.
I agree with your comment earlier that you didn't propose something, but now you're getting into the document.
Hello?
Yeah, okay, Bill, if you let me finish speaking, I'm talking about the minutes because that was what was said at the meeting.
Okay, sorry, my problem.
Yeah. So .aq was mentioned, and I will include it in 463. Thank you.
Can I clarify?
Apologies.
Yes,
my apologies.
Yeah. Can I clarify? Yes, .aq was talked about in Singapore, and it's not inappropriate to add it as to reflect the accuracy of the record. And can I also state that these are not minutes in the formal sense, more a recording of the points and issues as, and action points that arise. Hi, did someone just join?
I think it's Hugo. Is your theory?
Oh, well, carry on, Bernie.
Thank you, sir. I'll be with you in a second. Just take points need to be fixed properly.
In the meantime, I'm having Adobe issues. I can't. My internet connection seems to be not working properly. So I'm still on the call, but I can't just read what's going on.
Okay, I'll
try to probably explains, which probably explains my lack of input.
Well, if you, if anyone else is having that problem, if you pull out the copies of the documents that were circulated and you can read them locally, I'll refer to the numbers so that even if your Adobe is not working, you should know what we're talking about.
Sure.
So, as the meeting report, we continue. We're on point 4.6.4 right now. Susan Riddell noted that it may not be in the best interest of the working group to tamper with the definition of local internet community. And the reason behind that, if we remember well, is that in the GAC principles 2005, there is a formal definition of local internet community, and I guess the GAC worked pretty hard at coming up to that. 4.6.5, Kim Davies noted that when IANA refers to the government, it refers to the sovereign government of a country or territory. This being said, the other levels of government often comment on redelegation requests, such as the ministries of education, as a member of the LIC and not the government. As such, it would be important not to prevent this in any definition. 4.6.6, general agreements to use the GAC definition of the LICs at that time. 7, Nigel noted that the definition of AC was self-referential and that this should be fixed and suggested some. 4.8, dates of redelegation requests. Kim Davies will provide BT with a list of qualifiers currently used by IANA. Kim has done this. I've adjusted the list in the new version of the terminology paper to reflect the states that are currently in use internally by IANA. Point 5, any other business? There was none. 6, future meetings. There's this one. Keith noted, advised the working group that there will be a dual poll to select the best data and times for participants. Which, as far as I know, has not been done yet, but we've circulated a list of meetings up to Senegal yesterday, and that was the conclusion of the meeting. So I'll take any other questions if there are some.
Yes, Keith, if I can direct a question to you. It's Bill D here. My apologies for interrupting, but I don't have Adobe Connect, actually, so I can't put a little hand up for you. It's just a question of information, if that's okay.
Sure.
Yeah, it's just a reference in the notes, and I'm sorry, I haven't participated before in any of the meetings. 4.6.3, no, sorry, I'm looking at the wrong one. 3.2.1, sorry, about that the GAC representatives can circulate working papers once they've been through at least one reading of the group. I presume that includes this working document that we're coming to next, because it's got version 3.4 on the front. Is that correct?
Sure. I mean, I suppose this one's a bit tricky because it's a major rewrite of the terminology paper that we were reviewing during the Singapore meeting. But
yeah.
as a normal course of events, I think the main point is that you know, when we publish a draft as an initial draft, it could be full of all sorts of bugs. So once it's been looked at once, then it's not inappropriate to circulate it, noting that it is a draft document. We're not precious or preciously wanting to be confidential about our work, but we do want to avoid circulating papers that might have glaringly obvious mistakes in them. So if you just bear that in mind as a principle, that's fine.
No, that's very helpful, and I that's why I asked, actually, because I don't want to I don't want to circulate too many versions of documents. That will probably confuse my colleagues. But two, I'm happy to take advice from you and other members of the working group when you think a document is mature enough for us to share it with GAC colleagues, actually, so that we can start giving you feedback from them. And if you think after today's call that this document, or if you want to review it and revise it, the next version is mature enough, then I'm happy to do that.
Well, I think you'll probably be able to exercise your own judgment in terms of the acceptance of this particular version or otherwise on this call, and the general acceptance other than sort of minor tweaks and edits, then it's probably not inappropriate to start circulating it wider.
Sorry, it's not appropriate yet. Sorry, I didn't catch the last bit.
Yeah. If there's general acceptance on this call, then it's probably appropriate to start circulating it after
this
call.
Okay, thank you. Thanks.
Sorry. So going back to Bernie, are there any changes or other amendments to the record? If not, we'll accept it as amended and recirculate it for a final look. And just in terms of the action point, I guess, that arises, I've been a bit tied up in other things, so I haven't had a chance to talk to Christina or Gabby about performing a doodle poll on the best day and a day of the week for meetings. So I think we probably need our schedule of meetings right through to Senegal now. And given that at the end of September the planet moves through another change of daylight savings during September and October, and the adjustment and rift that will cause, I thought we'd stick with our original Thursday meeting schedule with a slightly amended time of 0500, 1300 and 2100 UTC, which should be a kinder time zone to everybody than our previous slot. But if we can move ahead with that and then do the doodle poll and revisit and reschedule after ICANN Senegal. And I've just a couple of hours ago posted to the list the suggested dates and times that should see us get through our business in reasonably good order going forward. So if there's nothing else on that, can we move on to the...
Keith?
Yes.
It's Martin Boyle here.
Yes, Martin.
Little question. Are we going to revisit that as identified on the agenda item under 5?
Yes.
Right, okay, fine. Little point on the minutes. The third name down has Olga, has got GNSO and then bracket liaison question mark. Can we confirm that? It seems a bit strange to have minutes where we that register somebody where we don't actually know what they are.
I think that at the time of the meeting we hadn't had a positive confirmation from the GNSO that Olga was going to be the actual participant of the working group. And I think that's why we noted it as such. And I'm not sure that we've had a confirmation from GNSO as to Olga's appointment, even though she's on the call. Olga, would you like to clarify? No. she's not on the call.
I think she should be on the call.
Okay, oh, we'll come back to that and get some greater clarification. So
Keith, this is Bart.
Keith, sir.
To my knowledge, the GMSO Council indicated and say that tentatively Olga would be the the liaison and should be considered as such unless there would be another signal from the GMSO Council during the Singapore meeting. We haven't received anything, so assume Olga is the liaison.
We should amend the minutes, the meeting record accordingly as well, then, please, Bernie.
Will do.
Okay, thank you. If there's nothing else, can we move on to the terminology paper, which is the substance of tonight's call? Christina, if we could have the terminology paper popped up on screen. And as I said, this is a substantial revision of the paper that was circulated in Singapore. It's down from about 40 pages to about 15 pages, so a much more concise and tightened document than we originally had. Bernie, do you want to walk us through it?
My pleasure, sir. So yes, we're at version 3.4, and yes, there were about five or six versions in between the versions you had in Singapore and this one. Section 1 has been slightly amended to include the status of terminology in various documentation that is applicable, noting that RFC 1591, there is no definition of terms used. There is the small glossary in the GAC principles 2005. The IANA documents understanding CCTLD delegation and redelegation provides a very small glossary of terms. And note that the IANA reports on delegations and redelegations have used multiple terms over the years, and that we would look at that in detail. So the objective...
Bernie, I have a question.
Yes, Bill.
Are we commenting on this as you go through it, or you want to go through it and then we all comment, or what?
I think our practice has been that we beat up on things as we hit them, so go for it.
Okay, well, there's a typo. and what you just presented there is 1.4, the IANA reports on delegations and redelegations, hyphen, have used A multiple terms. You want to get rid of that A.
I'm actually losing you, Bill, but for any small things, maybe what I can suggest is you just give me a hit, or if you could send them in by email, and we'll certainly go through and make all the corrections. Would that be okay?
Yeah, well, that was basically my my road sign saying, if we're going to make comments, I need to know about it, and that was just sort of an entry comment. So I have far more serious comments in the works.
Oh, well, I'm certain, and we're looking forward to those. Okay.
Okay, but you can hear me okay now?
Now I can. At the end of your previous comment, you started fading pretty badly.
All right, I'll keep speaking up.
Okay. All right, now let's see if we can find the text again. So, the objectives were to identify the terms that have been used to describe the parties and activities involved in the investigation.
Sorry to interrupt, Benny. Someone who's coughing away, could you please mute your phone? And just a reminder to everyone to mute when you're not speaking. Thank you. Sorry.
All right, so for those that don't have Adobe Connect, we are on version 3.4 of the terminology document, which was circulated about 24 hours ago by Keith. We are currently on section 2.1. The objectives are to identify all the terms that have been used to describe the parties involved in the delegation and redelegation, such as delegee, manager, admin contact, text contact, and sponsoring organization, and produce a glossary of unique identifiers and their definitions. If you, we finish going through that, we come up with a list of terms under point three, which we will be looking at. Those include agreed, meaning agreement to a request, administrative and technical contacts, delegation, interested parties, manager, operator, organization, and re-delegation.
Vinny, sorry to interrupt. Martin has his hand up. Martin.
Thanks. There's a little question there. In section 415, when you're talking about definitions, you make a reference to consent, and then subsequently you say that that's going to be explored later in the working group's work. But does consent actually need to be included in that list?
Martin, we're in section 3 right now.
Yeah, I'm talking about the list in section 3.
Yeah.
Okay. And you're talking about if consent should be in there? That is your question?
That was my question, yeah.
Ah, okay. The way we've taken it is when we provide a definition of agreed or agreement, the definition of that term circles around consent. So we define as both being used, being able to be used. But the only term that is used in RFC 1591 is agreed. So I'm willing to take the wisdom of the group on this, but the reality is that we will end up using consent a lot as we go through documents because the definition does use the word consent.
In which case, perhaps we need to have agreed and consent both alongside one another, or clearly identify that consent means the same as agreed.
I can certainly include it on the same line. I think that would be fine if everyone else is okay with that.
Well, certainly if we're going to be using using the word consent lots, which is what you just said, I do think we need to make sure that anybody coming to it later will be able to identify that when we're saying consent, we mean agreed, and vice versa.
Okay, I'll take that on as a comment. Anything else on that?
Nigel has his hand up. Nigel.
Hello, Bernie. Just following on from Martin, I think when you say list of terms, they should probably be nouns. So I'd like to see 3.1 read agreement and consent, or agreement stroke consent, to incorporate Martin's comments.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks. So
all right. Anything else on the list of terms? Okay. So we will take it as section 3 is done, and we will move on to the meat of the matter in section 4. So for those that, again, that don't have Adobe Connect, terminology paper, section 3.4, terminology paper, version 3.4, we are now in section 4 analysis.
Sorry, Bernie, just before you continue, Bill has his hand up, and Nigel, I assume you haven't taken your hand down yet, but Bill.
Yeah, can you hear me okay, Bernie?
Yeah.
There's somebody sort of moving around next to their microphone, so it's causing some interference. I sent out an email a little while ago, but I think we need to add another term here, which figures largely in RFC 1591, which is revoke. This is in list 3. It took me a couple of minutes to find my hand-raising button.
That's a very good point, and that probably comes under re-delegation as well, as in I think 1591 doesn't suggest that there is any such thing as a re-delegation. There's a revocation and a delegation.
And a new delegation.
Okay. One comment and then one thought. As stated at the end of this document, and as we discussed in Singapore, it was a bit of a chicken and egg situation whether to put the terminology paper up front or at the end. Given there were so many terms that were used in so many different ways, we decided to put the terminology paper up front with a clear understanding that whatever we agree to here is simply an initial definition of terms, and that as our work proceeds in the FOI working group, that definitions will A, be amended depending on the findings, and B, new definitions will be added as they become necessary. So on balance, it was felt that it was best to try and establish some basic terms. This being said, Bill is quite right. Revoke is part of the terminology in RFC 1591. To my mind, we were going to address that subject in detail under unconsented redelegations, but I have no problem mentioning it here. However, this stuff is going to be a little thin on it, given it hasn't really ever been used or documented in IANA reports. So I'm open to take the wisdom of the group on that one.
My feeling, Benny, is that we should probably allude to it, and I think this is quite a serious discussion matter, not really for the terminology paper itself, but the principle of revocation versus redelegation being quite a broad topic to discuss at that later point. So probably alluding to it in the terminology paper and suggesting that it's something we look at in more detail later is appropriate. Nigel has his hand up, and so does Bill, and I'm not sure if Bill has just not taken his hand down, so we'll go to Nigel.
No, I put my hand up again.
Me too.
Oh, okay.
Just to say my comments are in the chat.
Okay, well, I'll take them in order. Sorry, Bill first, then Nigel, so Bill.
Yeah, I think it's significantly more important than alluding to it. Part of the issue we're dealing with here, and I keep thumping on this, and hopefully it will, I'll be able to make it a little more clear and make my point a little more effectively, is that through what I think is has been a serious misinterpretation of the concept of redelegation, this revocation requirement has been left to lie and not been acknowledged in the process and the procedures. And many players, most players, and even I sometimes, become overly concerned with the whole redelegation process as if it's an approved and accepted and ingrained legal procedure or something. And it's not. It's just something that sort of has jumped past the requirement for revocation on the part of entities who have, in my opinion, misread the RFC and somehow decided that they can just, you know, anyone off the street can walk up and request a redelegation. And IANA has to respond. And I don't think that's the case at all. I think there has to be a process in which IANA must itself decide there's been a failure to perform or whatever, and it will itself either work with the current manager or determine that the failure is irredeemable and then do a revocation, subsequent to which a new delegation happens. The concept of redelegation is really a technical one, as we said early in the game here. I think Elle could speak to that. You redelegate name servers as a technical procedure. And I think we're sort of taking it out of context by turning the word redelegation which is a technical DNS term, turning it into a basically a reassignment of a business. And, you know, the revocation concept, I think, was put in there for a reason, and we ought to respect that and try and explain it, elucidate it, and make it a more important concept than it currently is in this document. And I think starting with terminology and putting it out front is a way to start the whole process on the right foot.
Thanks, Bill. Nigel.
Yes, I listened to what Bill just said with some great interest. I think he's jumping the gun. It may well indeed be very valid what he said, but I think he's jumping the gun. What I take from what he said earlier is more important. We have a list here of what we've identified as important words that we need to grapple with when we come to analyze and produce conclusions like the one that Bill's just come up with. And he's quite correctly identified that the concept of revocation, which does appear in RFC 1591, if not RFC 920, is used. And I think it needs to be set out with the plain meaning of this list in 3.1 to 3. whatever, off the bottom of the screen at the moment. And then we go on to discuss exactly the sort of thing that Bill's just talking about. But at this point in time, we need to explain the words that we're going to use before we start the discussion, and not to get mixed up in the discussion around the words before we've discussed the meaning of the words that we're going to use. Otherwise, we'll end up the same way the UNRWA reports.
I think that's quite reasonable, as I was suggesting, you know, initially, by including the term revocation here. But not trying to analyze it in too much detail in the terminology paper, but having the broader discussion later is probably the appropriate process, because I think it is something that would bog us down unnecessarily in detail currently when it is a part of a broader topic, and probably something we'll need to spend quite some time on just as a single term. So I think including it, but not trying to define it overly other than the context of RFC 1591 at this stage probably wouldn't be a bad thing. Bill, before I go to Bill, Christina Paulos has lost his connection. Are you reconnecting him?
He's reconnected.
Ah, excellent. Okay. Bill.
Yeah, I would take that to mean that the word revoke will be in the definitions. And I guess what I wanted to add is that I'm not so much suggesting that we grapple with the issues in the terminology paper, but it's clear that revoked and redelegation have a connection, and I would expect or hope that, Bernie, you include the concept of revoked in the definition of redelegation, certainly contested, or, you know, I don't know what the sub-definitions are that you've got in there. I recall there are a bunch of them, but certainly in those sub-definitions that relate to you know, redelegations that are not administrative and are not voluntary.
Mr. Chairman, if I can.
Yep.
Just a note, in this first cut of the terminology paper, I think we should really to stay away from defining actions and processes which lead to the result we're talking about. Be in delegation, redelegation, or revocation. I think at this point probably what we're best served with, given we will be, there is for all these terms, as far as I'm concerned, a time slot for us to discuss exactly how it should be interpreted and what the processes need to be to generate the results. So I don't know if this helps at all, but, you know, I fully concur. If we want revoke in there, we can put the definition of what revoke means. But I think the whole notion of the processes that lead to that, which I take was the point Nigel was trying to make. So we'll have a clear term what revocation means. We're not going to go into the various processes and impacts that those things make. And as we go through the definition of redelegation, hopefully there won't be too much of a knock-on effect, but I take Bill's meaning, and we should keep that in mind. That's it for my comment. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Benny. We're getting quite a bit of interference still on the call, so just a reminder to everyone, if you're not speaking, please star 6 to mute and star 7 to unmute.
Keith, it's Chris. I just wanted to let you know that I've joined the call, and if I'm causing interference, I will mute myself.
Must be you. Thank you.
It's always my fault. I understand that completely.
Well, now that you're one of those ICANN directors, we can anticipate that.
I'm wearing a different hat, but thank you for pointing that out to me.
Thank you. For the record, please note Chris is now on the call. Mark Cavell raised on the Adobe chat the question, is retirement clearly defined and understood? And the answer to that, Mark, no, it's not. It's not at all defined and not understood. And that's why the CCNSO will be a policy development process on the concept of retirement to the CCTLD later. The DRD working group felt that it, because there are few retirements, it's not such an urgent case, and that it will be a usual lengthy policy development process to go through later. So, yes. Hello? Okay, I don't know what that was. Okay, carry on.
Okay.
Benny.
And you would it how? You can send an open check through for me. Actually, it's better.
I hear some talk in the background. I'm uncertain if it's relevant to the call. Shall we move on to Section 4, Mr. Chair?
I think let's move on. I'm not sure. I was trying to pick whose voice that was, but I couldn't quite pick it. Please continue, Ben.
All right. For those that are still having problems with Adobe Connect, Section 4.1.1, which is dealing with the term agreed. Before we get into that, I have noted that we will be adding the term revoke, and we will be providing a basic definition, which will not include processing. So, Section 4.1, agree to a request. Nigel has made the point it should be agreement, and we will deal with that. We have the text from RFC 1591 for any transfer of the designated manager trusteeship from one organization to another level domain manager, the IANA, in the case of top-level domain, must receive communications from both the old organization and the new organization that assure the IANA that the transfer is mutually agreed and that the new organization assumes its responsibilities. What we've done for those that are new to the way we work, I've trimmed away all the official references, but basically what we've done is gone through all the available public documentation, every single redelegation request that is available on the IANA site, Those have been indexed and accounted for, and we've listed the terms that are used, which is what is in section 412. So basically, for greed, we've got favor, no objection, not presented any challenge, and support. And basically, in the bracket, word is the type of documentation where it shows up. In this case, all these terms, as will be the case for most other things, are from IANA reports on redelegation. Any questions?
Nigel has his hand up. Nigel.
Yes, I do indeed. Without going too deeply into the reports, it's very clear to me that while 4.1.2 might possibly convey the same meaning, although I'm not sure, and 4.1.2.4 probably does, 4.1.2 and 3 certainly do not. No objection is not the same thing as agree. Not presented any challenge is not the same thing as agree.
Correct.
That's the point we're going to come to under issues. But before we leave 412, are there, does anyone know of other terms that have been used in the documentation that may have been missed, I guess, is the question on this part? Not hearing any. We'll move on to 413, which I think is where Nigel's comment falls in line.
Sorry, I had put my hand up here. It's not boiling.
Yes,
Nathan. Yeah, I think we actually had flagged earlier that consent is used, and that you then cover that again slightly later. So shouldn't under 4.1.2 the word consent,
Martin,
actually appear?
I don't believe the term consent is used in the documentation anywhere. So in the list of terms that are used, but I'll double check that. I'll take a note on that. Thank you.
Thanks, Matt. Sorry, Bernie, carry on.
All right, moving on to 413. There is no definition of the term agreement now that we will rework it according to Nigel's request. Just taking a note here. Okay. There are multiple terms that are used without definition. And as pointed out by Nigel, not all of the terms used in IANA reports have the same meaning and should not be used as synonyms for agree. So I think Nigel was stronger in his comment stating that not presented any challenge is not, clearly not a synonym for agreement. And I think that's part of the issue we're trying to grapple with here. So if you go through the list of terms that have been used...
Bernie?
Nigel.
Yeah, I know this probably sounds like it's a subtlety, but that wasn't quite what I was doing. I can see that you've set this problem out, and clearly it is a problem. What I was complaining about is the line in 4.1.2, which says to convey the same meaning. It's subjective. What it's doing is you're actually looking at the intention rather than just the plain words. So you actually appear to me to be saying the IANA are using these to mean agreement, whereas what we should just simply say is these terms appear, and then in 4.1.3 and these are the problems with these terms. That's the sort of thing I'm trying to say.
Much clearer. Okay, I don't necessarily want to argue with that, and so I can do that because I think it will bring more clarity.
Yeah. Or to reword 4.1.2 to something like other terms used in the reference documentation via IANA which appear to convey the same meaning.
I'm sure we'll work out something now that I understand Nigel's concern properly, sir.
Yep. Thank you. Martin has his hand up. No, he doesn't. Okay, carry on. Thanks, Bernie.
Thank you, sir. Under issues...
Oh, sorry. Eberhard has his hand up. Eberhard.
I just have to request apologies. I have to leave now, just that you know, in case you don't hear comments from me, it's intentional.
Okay, Al. Thanks for joining us.
Okay, thanks,
right,
Eberhard, and I'm sure you'll make any comments on list that you have remaining. Thank you.
Sure. But I'm still working. I have to. My patients are banging at the door, so I have to carry on working. Okay. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you. Carry on, Bernie.
All right. So I think back in 413. Again, as we were saying, there's no definition. There are multiple terms, and not all the terms used in the IANA reports have the same meaning and should not be used as synonyms for agree. And I think that can be bring about an additional level of complexity when we're dealing with many people whose first language is not English. So those are the issues we've got with that. I don't know if anyone else has any comments or thoughts on section 413. Hearing none, we'll move on to 414. Under 414, we're proposing to use the term, and now that will be changed from agreed to agreement, as per the earlier comments, is used, technically the term agreed is what's used in RSC 1591, but the noun will be agreement, and that will be the term we're proposing to use. Is that agreement okay with everyone? Subject to Martin's perennial comment on consent, and hopefully we'll work through that in the next section here. Okay, I'm taking that as most people are okay with the term, so using the term agree. Now let's see if we can agree on the definition. So we're proposing in the context of a redelegation request the approval of the incumbent manager, administrative contact or technical contact for their request should be noted as agreement or consent to match up. Right now we've got the words agreed or consented, but we'll adjust according to proper English form. If we go to the sub-definition of agreed from a legal dictionary, we've got settled and determined by mutual consent. So basically, the two could be used, and as noted by Martin, I'll fix that up so it's clear that we're proposing that both can be used. The subject in 4152, there's a note, the subject of consent for a redelegation request will be further explored by the FOI working group in the topic of consent and will again be revisited under the topic of unconsented redelegations. And that would close up section 4.1. I'll take comments and thoughts. I think I see Bill.
Bill?
Sorry, I pushed the speakerphone button. I can hear you very well. I have two issues. One, just a question. In the definition, you describe agreed in the context of redelegation. My recollection is it exists in other contexts as well. Are we just ignoring those, or is it showing up somewhere else?
I don't know if it's everyone, but Bill, I'm getting about every second word. You're fading out very badly, so it makes it difficult to understand what you're saying.
All right. Well, I turned off the room fan. Maybe that helped. Yes, no?
Right now it doesn't seem too bad. Let's give it a try again.
Okay. The definition limits the definition of agree to the context of a redelegation request. Aren't there other agreements required in RFC 1591, for example, delegations?
Yes, that is correct.
So I'm wondering why we're limiting it to redelegations in this definition.
To tell the truth, I was thinking that when I was reading it. So, yes, we'll be sure to broaden that. But I think what we're trying to, part of the reason it ended up like this is we were really focusing on redelegations and trying to formalize a vocabulary for redelegations. I don't think there's ever been a question relating to a delegation. As a matter of fact, if we go through the documentation under RFC 1591, when there is a redelegation, technically both the proposed manager, with all reservations if we're going to use that term or not, as well as the incumbent, are required to provide agreement to the change. Yet in the IANA documentation of redelegation requests that we find on the website, we rarely find any reference that the new proposed manager has provided any kind of agreement or consent to that. But I take your point, and I think we should clean that up a bit.
And then in the context of this redelegation definition, the way you have the commas and the ors, it's conceivable that we're defining either a manager, an administrative contact, or a technical contact as individually being an entity to agree to the request.
You're fading again very badly. I heard manager, AC, and TC.
Right now, the way you've got it defined, either the manager or the AC or the TC can agree to a redelegation individually.
That's not the intent of what I'm trying to do. If you feel that's the way I've written it, I was just trying to capture the essence that if you go through the various documentation, the three bodies that are asked to provide agreement to a redelegation request are either the manager, incumbent and new, AC and TC. So there was no intent to process here or allocating powers that are not. At any rate, when we go through the discussion on consent, we'll be, I think, going through that in great detail. But let me take a beating at this so that I think I understand your point. This is definitely not what was trying to be done here, Bill. So we've worked enough together. I think you understand that this is clearly we're trying to come up with the best thing. So given that we've got to play with that definition, given the previous comment, I'll try to take this comment into account also.
Understood, and I appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you, Bill. Are there any other comments?
Just before you proceed, Benny, I've been disconnected from the internet and showing no signs of reconnecting, which may be attributable to the thunderstorms and things that we're having at the moment. So can I ask Bart to please keep an eye on people who have their hands up and interrupt accordingly?
I will.
Reconnect. Thank you. Sorry, Benny.
Sorry, I had gone on mute. I'm just making sure I've got Bill's comments for the edits that we're going to have to do. And I'll be right with you in a sec. Delegation. All right, good. So that would conclude Section 4.1. And we would now be moving into Section 4.2, which is administrative and technical contact. We decided to lump those together, given they're fairly close, and a lot of the texts seem repetitive to be repetitive when we actually had them separated out. So to tighten up the document, we included both of those in there. So I'll take comments on the fact that we've lumped both those in there. Okay, I don't see any hands up, and I don't hear anything, so I'll take it that everyone is okay with the fact that we've lumped the definition of those two terms together. Under 4.2.1, initial and other relevant uses of the term that sort of set up the use of AC and TC, under RFC 1591, we have there must be an administrative contact and a technical contact for each domain. For top-level domains that are country codes, at least the administrative contact must reside in the country involved. In 4212, we have IANA document understanding the CCTLD delegation and redelegation procedure. We have, once IANA has completed its verification and analysis of the material supplied in the request, it then requests confirmation of the redelegation from the current administrative and technical contacts, and there's a bracket there, if applicable, as well as the newly proposed administrative and technical contacts. For those that are wondering about the brackets on if applicable, I think we've tried to tear that one apart in a further topic, but basically what it boils down to is, as stated in the title of this document, it is for the delegation and redelegation. So both of those are...
Bernie? Martin, yes. Has his hand up.
Martin.
I was quite happy for Bernie to finish his sentence. Do you want to finish? Do you want to finish that, Bernie?
Yeah, I'll just take a few seconds. So basically, as far as we can understand it, the if applicable is in the case of a delegation where there is no incumbent, and that's the only limitation that is applied. Over to you, Martin.
Thanks, Bernie. Just a little question of clarification. The administrative and technical contacts I had always assumed were appointed by the manager. Is that actually not correct?
Depends on which term you mean it. Is there a formal definition of the process of appointing those functions within RFC 1591? No. Is there a definition of the term AC and TC? No. So is it the general understanding that when there is a delegation request or a redelegation request, that as part of the request, the AC and TC are identified? Yes. And I think in a way that's a little bit what we're trying to deal with in the FOI working group is there are all these things around which are generally assumed. But if you actually scratch your way through all the documentation, you sometimes find, as in the case of AC and TC, that there are very limited formal references to what these things are and how they should be done.
Okay, so essentially what you're getting at is there's no formal definition. So in theory, at this stage of the document, we have to assume that they might be independent of the manager.
It's quite possible, and I think that's some
okay.
of the things. We're probably going to go into more detail around the administrative contact and the technical contact under the third topic, which is valid manager AC and TC, where we actually get to tear those things apart in great detail. So probably if you're looking for greater clarification as to the exact role of these things, the FOI working group will certainly be working through that again under topic. Does that answer your question, Mark?
Yeah, that's fine. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Bernie, it's Nigel. Can you hear me?
Of course I can hear you. You, I can hear
okay.
you.
Okay. I'm having problems. Okay. I've lost Adobe, so apologies for that. I think what's important to bear in mind, although not necessarily to delve into on this call, is that the historical context in which RFC 5091, building on RFC 920, building on everything that went before, that lots of which were written in handwriting in somebody's notebook that's disappeared, is that these requirements apply to all domains that existed at the time this document was written. So that's clearly not just what we now call CCTLDs, which in RFC 5091 it says TLDs which are represent a two-letter code or something like that. You used the phrase earlier, I forget exactly what you said. But also what we now call GTLDs, and every domain underneath all of those. So there was an integrated registration system run by one company that registered all .coms, and all the TLDs were in that registration system. So for every domain, you had a domain name, an admin contact, a technical contact, and even curiously for CCTLDs, you had a billing contact, even though nobody ever sent anybody any bills. And the thing to remember is that that's where some of this terminology is coming from. It's that historical background.
That is quite correct. I've left aside the GTLD connotations of RSC 1591, given our focus, but Nigel is quite correct.
I mean, I think for people, I mean, don't forget, a lot of water has gone under the bridge in the last 15 years, and perhaps the vast majority of what somebody earlier called players were not around, and some of people haven't even been around for more than a couple of years. So it's really important to note these things so that the context in which that, because otherwise people look at the words that are written on the piece of paper and interpret them through modern spectacles.
Thank you for the spectacle reference. anything else on section 421 on some of the original definitions of the term? I do not see any hands up right now. So I will take it that there is not. Moving
you,
on.
Bernie.
I'm sorry? Yes?
Just go ahead.
Okay. Section 422, other terms used in the reference documentation to convey the same meaning, and I will take on the earlier comment from Nigel relative to that title of that section. But the point is, under Section 4221, as far as we could find in the documentation, this is admin contact and tech contact. Is one of the few terms which IANA does not use any synonyms for throughout its documentation. Does anyone know of any substitute use for those terms in any public documentation anywhere? I see no hands, I hear no comments, so I don't think there is. So we'll leave Section 422 and move on to Section 423 under Issues. There is no formal definition of these terms is an issue. Following on from Nigel's comment in Singapore, and as noted in the text in 421, there is that residency requirement for the administrative contact. The requirement that the AC must reside in the country involved brings up several issues in the current context. And I think, as Nigel has pointed out, we have to remember that RFC 1591 is not a young document in internet years. It was published quite a while ago, and the world has evolved. The use of the term country in the context of ISO 3166, as referred to in RFC 1591, is partially incorrect. The entries listed in ISO 3166-1 are formally referred to as countries and territories, and that follows up on a comment YAP had made that if you refer to ISO 3166, you have to be very clear in referring to the units in there. And I hope that captures that correctly, YAP. Not hearing anything else.
Yes, this is fine.
Thank you, YAP. Under 4232.2, there is no definition or explanation as to what reside in the country actually means. The relevant definition of the term reside, according to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, is to dwell permanently or continuously, occupy a place as one's legal domicile. Given the term legal domicile has significantly different legal meanings in different legal systems, this can add to the confusion. So we're just trying to point out issues here, but when you start digging actually into what legal domicile means, different legal systems have clearly different expectations of that term. Many ACs and TCs in the IANA database or of TLDs are role accounts, that is simply email addresses, and do not identify a natural person, and we mean by a natural person an individual like Bernard or Paul. In such cases, the requirement that the AC must reside in the country involved can't be applicable because it doesn't mean anything that an email address reside in a country.
Benny, can I just interrupt? It's Keith and I'm back. Your voice is getting a little bit faint on us, and Nigel has his hand up. Nigel.
We're not hearing you, Nigel, so I think you're still on mute.
Star 7.
How's that?
That's better.
Okay. I just want to come in on this. I mean, I want to underline that this business of residence and domicile is going to be quite an interesting one, almost as interesting as Dr. Liss's informed or otherwise consent issue. But it's probably as easier than you think in terms of role accounts, because what you actually have to say is that the person behind the role account, or the legal person, as in the company behind the role account, must reside in the country or territory concerned. So I don't think it's going to be as problematic as you think.
I'm not trying to judge the level of problems. I think all we're trying to do at this point is list...
identify them. Yeah. I will also point out that I don't know if Bill D is still on the call here. Bill, are you still here?
No, he isn't.
Okay. There is an issue of community law which cuts straight across this requirement in RFC 1591, but we'll deal with that when it comes up in the discussion probably in about 3 months' time.
You see Martin has his hand up?
Yes. It's about the terminology legal domicile. Because, you know, essentially for me, I think the concept for residing in a country or a territory is so that you are able to respond to the local inhabitants, but more importantly, you are actually answerable under the local law. And I was wondering why answerable under local law would not would actually give you the sort of problems that you imply legal domicile would imply. Because I missed this part of the conversation in Singapore, I don't know what the issues around legal domicile were, but certainly the sort of fundamental rule of all of these things surely was that the administrative contact was the representative of the TLD manager in situ and therefore answerable in that jurisdiction.
Martin, I think, you know, what you're proposing actually makes sense. What we're trying to go through here is, and, you know, maybe the interpretation that many people have developed, given the lack of formal definitions and use over the years. However, I think the point that we're trying to make here, and maybe not very well, is that if you simply look up the term that's used in RFC 1591, you get to that, to those terms, and then you look up those terms and you notice that there are definitions. So I don't think we're proposing to try and solve that here. We're simply pointing out issues. Some of them are potential issues. As Nigel has pointed out, some of those issues are probably very simple to resolve in many cases. I think it simply points out that we will have to have that discussion and deal with those various issues at the appropriate time. What we're suggesting at the end of these issues here, as we will see, is that we simply use the term that is used in RFC 1591 with the understanding that we will revisit in detail these issues that are listed here under active administrative contact and technical contact. Does no. that answer your question, Mark?
No, not quite. My issue was with picking up on a particular term, legal domicile, having significant differently different legal meanings without actually getting to the underlying concept and then focusing the discussion on the underlying concept rather than on a particular and contested or variant legal meaning term of domicile.
I think what I probably didn't communicate very well, what I was trying to say is if we simply look up the term reside, we end up with this definition that has domicile. Now, we may decide that, you know, that doesn't apply or not. I'm just listing it as an issue at this point, which we will have to go through. I'm not stating that the issue of permanent domicile is something we include in our definition at this point. I'm just saying, given the definitions that are available publicly right now, it's potentially an issue which we will have to look at under valid AC and TC. I don't necessarily want to have an issue about legal domicile at this point. Does that make sense to you, Martin?
Yeah, I'm quite happy not having an argument on legal domicile. It was just the fact that you seem to be homing in on the legal domicile, whereas actually it was answerable under local law, which I think was the fundamental issue behind it. But anyway, I'm quite prepared to see that discussion coming up later.
Okay, and I think just to be clear, what I was trying to do by bringing this up is that legal domicile is a thorny issue and maybe we should stay away from it. So I think we're probably in the same place. Thank you, Martin. Any other comments on this very dicey 42322?
It's Keith here. I think it might be one of those things where the clarification that the working group might come up with is in normal circumstances, manager shall reside in country, or something like that, so that you're ameliorating the need to legally define what that means, etc. So, you know, as a normal statement, so that Martin's point of local law applying would normally apply, but there may be special circumstances on occasions where that's not possible, and it's quite appropriate to have the manager or any other contact out of country. Anyway, as said, it's a discussion topic for later on and will be considerable, so cross that bridge when we come to it. I notice that we're nearly 1.5 hours into the call, so we should try and expedite although we're coming close to the end of the document, but we should expedite our proceedings. Thank you, Bernie.
We will try, sir. We have the chat with regarding roll accounts. There was a comment from Nigel. Are there any further comments on 42323? All right. Given there are none. Sorry about the 42324, the definition of country and territory does not take into account transnational entities, the European Union, which has been delegated to the CCTLD, and the concepts of residence should be adjusted to take this into account. Comments, questions, thoughts? I think this was discussed in Singapore, so I think that's simply a reflection of that. The definition of the AC, moving on to 42325, the definition that the AC must reside in country, in the country involved, meaning the country or territory, is an issue for territories where there are no permanent residents, making it impossible to meet the strict meaning of this requirement. .UM is an example of a territory that has no permanent residents according to the definitions that are available. 42326, the definition of country and territory does not take into account areas such as Antarctica.AQ, where there are no permanent residents and the area is not a territory of a specific government. So definitely a list of issues there. We definitely don't want to trample onto international politics for things that are very dicey, but nonetheless, if you look at a very clear definition of these things, and they all turn around the issue of resident in country, but if we're going to clean this up, these are things that we're probably going to have to look at.
Sure. Bill has his hand up, but before we cross to Bill, it's probably worth noting that the delegation manager for .AQ has a policy of allowing domain names for anyone who was born and currently lives in the Antarctic, which is a fairly exclusive policy. Bill?
Comment. I believe .UM is not delegated.
So maybe a
more appropriate example would be .HM, heard in McDonnell Islands.
That's a good point, too. UM was an interesting case because it was undelegated.
Right.
Yes, that is quite correct. So thank you for that suggestion, Bill. Given AHM is delegated, that may be more appropriate. Any other questions on section of issues? I see no hands up. Okay, so I think we've come up with a list of issues relative to that original definition, which will provide questions which have to be dealt with. It is my understanding the way we've broken down the work that the place to deal with these questions will be under the topic of valid manager, administrative contact, and technical contact, which is the third topic in our roster right after consent/agreement. All right, moving on, section 4.4, definitions. Now, as mentioned earlier, given all these issues, but the reality that it is listed in RFC 1591, we've adjusted the wording of AC to reflect the residency requirement exactly as it's listed in RFC 1591, and not trying to prejudge any of the issues we just mentioned. The wording of the administrative contact as it is there is now based on the edits Bill posted to the list and as stated in Singapore. I thought those were pretty good. So basically what we've done is taken Bill's suggestion, making sure they fit in, and we've added in on the AC side the notion of residency. So I'm going to go through those. There are some notes after the definitions, so if I can ask you to hold questions until we finish section 424, then I'll be glad to take questions. But given Nigel, thank you, Nigel. So let's go through that. The administrative contact is the role or individual named by the manager as such and listed in the IANA database of TLDs. The manager appoints the administrative contact to serve as the manager's primary administrative contact with ICANN/IANA. The AC must reside in the country or territory associated with the CCTLD. In deference to YAP's comment, we've added in territory there to make it consistent with ISO 3116. The AC is not required to have extensive technical knowledge of the Internet, but is required by IANA to approve or disapprove all changes to IANA that regarding the CCTLD, including redelegation requests. The AC can only be replaced by the manager as per documented IANA procedure for this. Note, the requirement that the AC must reside in a country or territory associated with the CCTLD will be reviewed by the FOI working group as per that part. The definition of the technical contact is the role or individual named by the manager as such and listed in the IANA database of TLDs. The manager appoints the technical contact to serve as the manager's primary technical contact with ICANN/IANA. The TC should have sufficient technical knowledge to effectively interact with IANA. The TC is required by IANA to approve or disapprove all changes to the IANA database regarding the CCTLD, including redelegation requests. The TC can only be replaced by the manager or by the AC as directed by the manager as per the documented IANA procedures for this. The notes are, the definitions are not meant to be retroactively applied to existing situations, but rather as a standard on a going forward basis. As pointed out by several people, this implies that there can be no changes to the IANA database of TLDs for a CCTLD without approval of both the AC and TC. IANA notes that for decisions which are required of the ICANN board, that the board may waive any or all of these requirements. The requirements for approval of both AC and TC, nature of this approval, as well as how it's conveyed to IANA, will be further explored under the topic of consent and valid registry manager AC and TC. Changes to the AC and TC can be requested via standard IANA change request, which will require the approval of both the AC and the TC. This procedural requirement can be problematic if the existing AC or TC is unavailable to confirm the request. The changing of AC and TC will be further explored under the topic of valid registry manager AC and TC. So that's the section of definition, and I'm sure we'll have a lot of comments and questions, so let's get to it.
Nigel, is a thumbs down.
Down, so he's killed everything. Good
God. Okay, I'll try and make this very quick. I do disagree with the approach that's been taken here, because, again, I'm going to echo what I said earlier on. I think it's largely subjective rather than objective, and it imports into the definition a policy for which does not appear to exist anywhere in the policy documents. I would much prefer us to try and define what an administrative contact is in terms of what it is, rather than what the policy says it can do or not do. So if we can go through the first line, it says here, the administrative contact is the role or individual named by the manager as such and listed in the IANA database of TLDs. That is not obvious. It may be desirable in the future that a policy be created to state explicitly that the manager designates the administrative contact, but that is currently not obvious. And the same applies to technical contact. So where you say the manager appoints the administrative contact, again, it's not obvious. The AC must reside in the country or territory associated with the CCTLD. Again, to be objective, what you have to say there is it is stated in RFC 1591 that the AC must reside in the country or territory associated with the CCTLD. That obviously may not apply to pre-RFC 1591 delegations. The AC is not required to have extensive technical knowledge of the Internet. That's not anywhere, as far as I can tell. There's no point to having it there at all. But is required, and this is the most important part, is required by IANA to approve or disapprove all changes in the IANA database. This represents a unilateral change made by ICANN around the year 2000. Again, it's importing the policy to the definition, and I disagree with it.
Okay, and just to catch up how we got here, first of all, I understand your point, Nigel. I think what we've done, and you know what I was trying to do by grabbing Bill's definition, is at the heart of everything, you're quite right. There is really no fundamental definition anywhere. However, when we talk about AC and TC approval all through the IANA documentation on redelegations, it's clearly in this type of a context. Now, I'm not sure how we can get out of that conundrum.
I may be able to help.
Well, that's what I'm asking. So, and I guess that's what we're here for. So let's talk our way through this one.
Okay. I may be able to help, but I won't be able to give it to you on the fly. But I have the glimmerings of a definition that would be a lot shorter than this, as it happens. And it would get over these problems without, should we say, doing the same as this appears to be doing, but in the opposite direction.
Yeah, because
I think we have to define AC as how you recognize one, and it will be based on the appearance of the AC as such in the IANA database. But give me a couple of days to write something down and email it to you, and perhaps we can take this offline and discuss this, unless there is somebody else on the call who can provide more input into this. So, you know, obviously, we're at the start of this discussion.
I don't think I see anyone. So just to recap for everyone else may not be as excited about the definition of these terms as Nigel and I are. Basically, I think there are two points that are coming up, is that the definition that's been provided here is trying to capture the way those terms have been used in a lot of documentation that is out there, so we can make sense of it when we're talking about those things in later sections. Part of the point of Nigel, as I understand it, is that in reality, beyond the fact that AC and TC are used in RFC 1591, they're not defined, and the role in their functionality is also not defined. As of IANA under ICANN, these were attributed responsibilities, which ended up being implicitly documented by the various requirements for making changes. So I guess if the chair is comfortable with it, over the next week I'll work with Nigel and see if we can come up with something that makes sense for everyone so we can go forward in the spirit that was mentioned early on in this document, which is we're not trying to hamstring the work of the FOI working group going forward when we're going to deal with a lot of these things under consent and under valid administrative contact. So if we can come up with a simpler definition that does not cause concern, that for me would be the best solution. Would that be okay with you, Keith?
I think that's fine. Thanks, Benny. Just a point, there is one aspect of the definition that is absolutely correct. 1591 says there must be an administrative contact and a technical contact for each domain. For top-level domains that are country codes, at least the administrative contact must reside in the country involved. And that's really the extent of the description of the roles. But yeah, I think notwithstanding, it obviously does need some extra work and we can worry away at that. And Bill has his hand up, so a comment from Bill.
Yeah, I just wanted to interject an explanation of the structure of the language in terms of the, for example, saying that the manager appoints these contacts. If you look at RFC 1591 and the structure of RFC 1591, divided into three major sections, the third section is the administration of delegated domains. And under that come three subsections 1, 2, and 3. The lead in a paragraph to those subsections point out that management is delegated to a designated manager all at once, and then he has staff. The manager, it has staff that has to do a just equitable job, and then it lists these subsections. And the subsections say that there be a designated manager, says that the manager must be on the Internet, says there must be an administrative contact and a technical contact, all in the context of what the manager is supposed to do. So I think it would be not correct to assume that the manager is not the entity that controls, manages, appoints the administrative contact or the technical contact. That's primary information that's visible from the way that document's put together, and I just make that point.
Yeah, I think it's a reasonable point, but could be read the other way also, Bill, in as much as because it's included as a subset of the designated manager's responsibilities, you could argue that it's anticipated that the designated manager would appoint those administrative and technical contacts. But notwithstanding that, I think the point's been well made that what we have is perhaps not quite appropriate and needs some further work.
Not that eventually we probably won't come back to the same definition, but I think I see Nigel's point of view, and again, if we're trying to be very formal about this, we probably need to go through the exercise. So that would take on the sections of definitions for AC and TC. I think given where we are, there's not really such a big case to go through all the qualifiers for AC and TC until we see where we land with the definitions for at least this phase of the work relative to that. So I think what I would suggest, if it's okay, Mr. Chair, that we continue the discussion on AC and TC once Nigel and I have finished hacking something together, which can be a definition we can use in the interim until we have the full discussion under valid AC and TC.
Sounds reasonable. Nigel, you have your hand up. Nigel? Star 7.
Too many buttons.
Yep, okay. Okay. Nigel? No.
You didn't hear anything I said, did you?
No, not a word.
I'll make it nice and quick then. 425... without, I think we can do this without referring to AC or TC at all. Just use the word contact throughout, with a capital C if you prefer.
Okay, that would be great.
Just makes it easier to read, that's all.
Okay, thanks, Nigel. Okay, so the proposal is that we now wind up our discussion on the terminology paper and revisit the issues of the definitions of AC and TC. And is there anything else before we leave the terminology paper that anyone wishes to raise? If not, do we have, Nigel, a report from the ad hoc group discussions?
Hello. Becky, are you on the line? I'm sure she was earlier. Ah, you're typing.
Okay.
Becky's got cut off. The first report is that we had a very successful meeting in Singapore, and I believe a short form of words was agreed, which I believe Becky may have written down. But as she's not on the call just at this second, I can't verify that.
Okay, well, let's hold fire and see if she comes back on the call and have a look at the schedule of future meetings as I circulated.
I mean, if she didn't, if she hasn't got the access...
Sorry,
that's Becky.
I tried to take myself off of mute and hit the disconnect button.
Okay.
All right, let me just recap what I just said. I think that you wrote down a form of words on your pad at the conclusion of our short ad hoc meeting. Am I correct?
I did write down a form of words on my pad, which essentially consisted of the following, it's clear that some ownership interest is associated with, and I think, if they help me out if I'm wrong about her, about whether it's not the delegation, but the creation of a CCTLD. But it is unclear which and those rights may encompass a full range of possibilities, from, you know, a short-term license to exclusive ownership rights, but there is no uniform measure of whatever rights are conveyed, created.
That roughly corresponds to my recollection. I just wanted to make sure that my recollection was not different in any way to what I thought you'd written down.
Right. No, I mean, I think that the point is that, you know, we shouldn't get the concept of property rights encompasses a very, very, very wide range and variety of interests and ability to use something exclusively.
I think the example that you used, or we used, was it goes from a mere license that can be revocable without any notice on the one hand to complete a loidal title on the other.
Right, exactly right.
Okay, so the upshot is that there is ongoing work for the ad hoc group, or there isn't?
I think that's a matter for you, Keith. We've met, we've considered, we've reached a conclusion. It would appear that in the context of the FOI working group, that pretty unanimous conclusion ought to be then explored or put before the relevant people. And we can't go to ICANN and say, ICANN, you pay for expensive legal advice to see what you think about this proposition.
I'm not sure that I think that it's productive, in the sense that, to the extent that things are all already allocated, whoever the registry operator is has whatever property rights they have. And we don't know what they are in most cases because you know, we don't know what the understanding between John and the early recipients of CCPLDs was, and you know, I could hazard a guess, but that would be all it is. And then the question is providing the interpretation of the RFC 1591, what we are essentially doing is describing what the interest consists of by sort of describing the circumstances under which a delegation and a revocation or redelegation may occur. So to the extent that, you know, RFC 1591 says, discussions about rights and property are not appropriate, it may be that as part of this interpretation, we want to have, something that essentially says what we've just said there, but I'm not sure that we need to go beyond that.
So all you're suggesting is that we have inappropriate discussions. that's basically it. I think we're all in agreement as to where we've been and where we've come out of it. We just need to take what's come out of it and then apply it when we get into the substantive discussion in the FOI group.
Okay.
That's my view.
It seems like it might be worthwhile doing some wordsmithing and having a concise summary.
I'll submit that and circulate it to the group, and then we can pass it off into you.
Excellent. Okay. Thank you. Nigel and Becky. Moving ahead, we have our further meeting scheduled to look at. As I said earlier on the call, I do need to talk to Gabastina about getting a doodle poll done to see if there's alternate days of the week that might suit. But I think going forward, I put up a schedule of dates, and I see it's just appeared on Adobe Connect, and I see in my email earlier that I actually dropped one meeting, which is suggested for next week, the 14th of July at 2100 UTC, which would be to finalise the terminology and then start our work on consent. And we have a draft on consent that I think should be ready to go to the group tomorrow, so it would be plenty of time for discussion on next week's call, and then a series of calls that would get us through our work in accordance with our time plan and time for Senegal. So if we can, or is there any sort of objection or problems with the schedule? Remembering, of course, that at least one out of every three meetings is probably going to be at a very inconvenient time to everyone. So, as I often state, we won't make any binding decision on any single call. So, as long as you make two out of three, you'll be able to influence the decision making of the group without any problems. Okay, I'm taking no objection as being approval of that list. I'll repost it as the firm schedule to the list tomorrow for others who are not on the call. And could I ask you all to put those dates and times in your diaries as soon as possible so we can get maximum participation on each call? Okay, is there any other business? Any? Nigel, is your hand still up or is it up again? Nigel? Hand down. Okay, thank you. Any other business?
Keith, yeah, it was negligently up.
Okay, no problem. Okay, if there's no other business, nothing else. Thank you all for your participation, and we'll talk to you again next week, the 14th of July at 2100 UTC. Thank you all for your participation, and since it's 4 a.m., I think I might pour myself a whiskey before going to bed.
Enjoy it.
And just a reminder, they are two-hour calls.
Yes, yes. Please note them as two-hour calls in the day. Thank you all.
Thank you, Keith.
Here,
thank you,
Bernie.
Hey, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.